This is the Education Gadfly Show.
Point of clarification, what's a naked butler?
Oh, you asked that question like you don't know the answer. Come on.
Now, here's your host, Mike Petrilli.
Hello, this is your host, Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute here at the Education Gadfly Show and online at edexcellence.net. Now, please join me in welcoming my co-host, Education's Eddie Murphy, Rick Hess.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, babe?
So, big news, Eddie Murphy going to host the Oscars.
I just heard. This is terrific.
And you're going to host at the Pi Networks event, the Eddies.
That's true.
So it's very similar.
It would be so much more fun if they renamed the Oscars the Rickies.
The Rickies.
Like, check it out.
So this is great. I mean, you and Eddie Murphy have a lot in common, especially your heavy use of profanity.
Mm.
But see, once upon a time, Eddie Murphy was mostly known, I think, for his profanity and things. And then he's gone through this whole period of you know, gaining greater respectability.
Well, mostly because his career cooled off.
Was that it? And then he found himself having to do, you know, these little kiddie movies and things.
Doing like, you know, I think he was doing birthday parties for a while.
Yeah.
I remember when he was huge, though, man. When he was doing like Beverly Hills Cop and 48 Hours, he was giant. They used to compare him to Elvis back when, like in the days right after SNL.
Yeah.
Remember his Gumby? Remember Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood?
Oh, that was the best.
I mean, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
D was still in zygote form back in those days, but... This was good stuff.
You had me at Beverly Hills Cop, though. I was like, Axel, yeah.
Yeah. And remember The Golden Child?
No.
I learned, well, it was not a lot of people saw it. I think it was when Andy started to cool off.
Okay.
It was like back before Beverly Hills Cop 11.
Yeah.
But it was touching. I learned a lot about education.
Nice. All right. Well, hey, Rick, lots to cover. You know, we're back to school season here. Things are happening. Things are moving.
Mm.
Let's do it. We're going to play Part in the Gadfly with Daniela, and then, you know, we'll do all the other stuff we always do.
I like it.
Okay.
Great introduction.
Thank you, Daniela. Let's play Part in the Gadfly.
Question number one. Sunday's New York Times featured a front page article cautioning readers against overselling digital education. Is digital ed, in fact, just the next bandwagon fad?
Well, we've said that before in the show. Rick, you've been very good about taking folks like Terry Moe and Paul Peterson to task for saying, you know, this is the silver bullet, as they once said about vouchers. The strange thing about the Times article was that it wasn't about digital learning as many of us think about it now, with sort of online learning and alternative to what happens in the classroom. They went back to showing, you know, teachers using computers in the classroom like it was 1994. You know, so I was a little surprised about that. And of course, you take a traditional classroom and traditional methods and teachers and you add in expensive technology, and guess what? You don't get much better results and it costs more. But that's not the real promise of digital learning.
It does make it interesting that the New York Times historically pushes for more school spending. We're not allowed to actually talk about how to rethink schools or repopulate schools or charter schools without the New York Times slapping you as somebody who's anti-teacher and anti-school.
Well, and they didn't get into that, though. I mean, that's my sense of the article when I read it was, you know, they didn't really talk about the transformative potential here for replacing, you know, not having classrooms, not having teachers as you traditionally think about it. It was just simply, you know, how, I mean, they were having the stupid stuff. The teacher having kids go on Facebook to comment on things they had learned. I mean, things that was like a stretch. It was like a teacher trying to think, well, how could I use this computer? Rather than, you know, what's happening in the most interesting models where they really are getting efficiency by having kids do things by themselves online and save money.
This is classic New York Times, right? An insight that was first around in the 1930s or 1940s. The New York Times has now turned it into a page one story 75 years later. Way to go, guys. You guys are brilliant journalists. I've always been impressed.
All right, topic number two.
Okay. Ex-UTLA president AJ Duffy turned heads last week when he announced that he would open his own charter school. What should we think about this come to Jesus moment?
You know, this is the teacher union leader out in LA who has been among the most strident, hardline, anti-reform types out there. I think Steve Barr famously called him a pig bleeper. It's true. He did.
Well, he said, because AJ Duffy at one point in time had called Steve Barr out for something, and Steve Barr had said, that's like me saying that AJ Duffy is a pig bleeper.
Oh, thank
I've
you
never seen context. Him bleep a pig, so I don't know.
You guys, it's amazing. You know, they usually have the 7-second delay so they can bleep out people who cuss. You guys are such a tight, family-friendly ship that you self-bleep.
Yeah, how about that? You like that? Yeah, works pretty well. I don't know what to take of this, Rick. I mean, it almost seems hard to believe. He was so anti-charter school. He was such a defender of teacher union rights, and he's saying, look, he's going to set up this charter school. He's basically not going to have tenure for his teachers. He's got Caprice Young on his board.
What happened?
I don't know.
What's the story?
I don't know. Do we know? I mean, so one option, look, Mike Antonucci's always made the point, you know, he's a big follower of teacher unions that says, look, you got to understand these union leaders in context. They're elected leaders. They can't say anything they want. They can't go too far ahead of their members or else they'll get knocked out. And so it's possible that AJ Duffy made comments in his role as president that he didn't personally buy into.
Mm-hmm. Or fact of the matter is when you're talking about dealing with a system that educates 600,000 kids and everybody's playing their kind of preordained roles in this little kabuki dance management that you all have to play by these incredibly stifling, frustrating rules.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go open a school? You know, it turns out that you don't actually want to guarantee people jobs for life as soon as you hire them to staff your school. Turns out you want to be able to reallocate dollars to where they're needed. Turns out you want to be able to staff. Turns out you want to be able to focus. Turns out that you know, the principles of charter schooling make a hell of a lot more sense in the way we operate district systems.
You know, I think A.J. Duffy is going to be a very popular speaker on the school reform circuit over the next year or two for making this conversion. Maybe you should try to snag him first at AI.
Well, I'm thinking him and Ravitch head-to-head. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see.
That would be perfect. Okay, topic number three.
In Kipp's founding city of Houston, district schools are beginning to adopt the CMO's no excuses culture for learning. Does this have national implications for district charter relations?
Okay, so Rick, background here. This thing is called Apollo 20. It has this fancy name. Roland Fryer doing a big study to see if Houston traditional schools adopt some of these charter-like methods, if they can get charter-like results. What's your take on this?
So it's actually a little more than that, right? I mean, it's not just that he's studying, that this was Roland pitched this to Houston Superintendent Terry Greer a couple years ago when they first met. Roland suggested that he can isolate the elements of high-performing schools, which make them high-performing, additional time, kind of the match school element of additional one-on-one instruction. And he suggested that if you do these things and you kind of staple them together and turn around environments, that you can see dramatic results. I mean, one interesting thing is, I guess it's a New York Times story, it sounds like. Again, New York Times always to the party 3-4 years late. For 5 years we've been hearing superintendents of various places talk about how they were using the five pillars to drive their own turnaround and reform efforts, and those haven't paid off anywhere that's actually attempted them. It'll be really interesting to see whether Roland's strategy turns out better than comprehensive school reform or new American school models did when they tried similarly to assemble various supposedly effective elements into new school models.
But why so much skepticism, Rick? I mean, look, I mean, isn't this make sense? You've got a lot of schools in Houston, these KIPP schools, they're growing, they're replicating, they're working, and for the district to say, hey, let's try to do some of the things that they're doing. I mean, that makes sense, right?
Do we think that it's these things that they're doing? I mean, do we think that any random independent school district in Texas went over, did 3 days of dog and pony shows with KIPP or YES and flew back and said, we're going to do some of that? I mean, I don't buy that. I mean, I think what makes it work for KIPP is who they recruit, how they acculturate them, how they operate, the ethos of the organization. What HISD is trying to do in the Apollo 20 schools is they're trying to do that. They've cleaned these schools out. They brought in the new teacher project to help with kind of the staffing equation. Roland's working real intensively with it. So what they're trying to do is create in a symbiotic form that same culture at these turnaround schools. It'll be real interesting to see whether they can execute it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key. If they're able to, if they get the talent piece right, Houston's already relatively friendly in terms of labor policy. I mean, not collective bargaining and pretty good relationship with the teacher union leader there over a long period of time. So, I mean, if this would work anywhere, you would think Houston's the place to do it. And look, Terry Greer's got a great reputation, great track record of trying to make serious change. So
he's a smart guy. Their teacher evaluation policy they did with a ton of buy-in. They did this thing, 1,000 people showed up. They did a district-wide process for 9 months. So, no, he's a smart guy, and it's an interesting effort. But again, I mean, I think I do worry that we have this fantasy that if we can go out, identify, the to quote your old piece, kind of what works, mm-hmm. staple the pieces that work together, and then we've solved to this. And I think that's probably not the winning strategy.
You know, I think we've got a new nickname for you, Rick. Naysayer. it's a fine line between being a gadfly and a naysayer.
Ooh,
yeah.
What is the line?
I don't know. It's just it's just a fine line. You just know you have to it when you see it, Rick. When you've stepped over that line.
Mm.
And I'm just saying, you're getting awfully close to going from a gadfly to a naysayer.
I've always been a naysayer.
All right. Except for the few pet things that you like.
Yeah. Mm. Meatloaf.
Okay, that's all the time we got for this week. Now it's time for Chris Irvine's What's Up With That?
To clear my head, telephone rang and you wanna chat. Well, sit on down and tell me what's up with that. What up with that? Yes,
sir. Chris, how's it going today?
Doing all right. Back from a good weekend in Michigan.
Yeah, are we into football season now?
We are. Michigan won their first game. It wasn't a full game, but...
What do you mean it wasn't a full game?
Well, it actually got rained out, and they called it in the middle of the third quarter. First time in the history of the program.
Wow. Mm.
So,
yeah. It's been a big rainstorm.
It was a pretty big storm, but fortunately the game was already well in hand at that point, and we move forward to Notre Dame next week.
Very exciting. Okay, well, what you got for us here on the What's Up With That front?
All right, well, the argument that teachers don't make enough money seems to have become a perennial one. And while I'm not here to take an opinion on the issue one way or another, I have a certain respect for the teachers out there who spend their extra time trying to make extra money instead of complaining that they don't have it. Sadly, I lost a bit of that respect when I found out what British school teacher Benedict Garrett was doing to rake in some extra dough. Aside from teaching, Garrett worked as a stripper, naked butler, and adult film star. From 2008 until 2010, Garrett and his X-rated alter ego, Johnny Anglais, were able to coexist peacefully. But it all came to an end in 2010 when some of his high school students saw him in a trailer for an adult film, and the worlds of Benedict Garrett and Johnny Anglais abruptly collided. Naturally, Garrett was suspended from the classroom. But in a recent shocking turn of events, however, England's General Teaching Council ruled that Garrett would be allowed to teach so long as Johnny Anglais doesn't perform again and acknowledges their judgment that such work is not acceptable conduct for a teacher. What's up with that? Let me get this straight. All the General Teaching Council is asking of Garrett to return to the classroom is say sorry and pull up his pants? Give me a break. Fortunately, Garrett has no plans to return to the classroom. When interviewed, Garrett responded, quote, "What is wrong about it? I can't see anything." It seems as though he wouldn't even have met the less than stringent conditions set upon him after all. He added that he did not see himself as a role model, or teachers as a role model for that instance, asking, quote, "If teachers are role models, why do we tolerate teachers who smoke when smoking is linked to thousands of deaths? Do we look at teachers who are fat and say you shouldn't be teaching? Obesity is linked to thousands of deaths, too." So while I don't think this man should be in the classroom, hey, maybe he's on to something.
Point of clarification, what's a naked butler?
Oh, you asked that question like you don't know the answer. Come on.
I mean, do they wear, like, part of a butler's outfit, like just a bow tie, or what's...
I kind of picture a Chippendales kind of thing, right?
And is it like a real butler? Like you're working a party or you're like...
Well, that's an interesting
house calls,
question. If you're
perhaps?
Actually doing the job of a butler.
Or is it like, yeah. Mm. Or are you just like pretending to be a butler?
Look, I feel like we have talked about this issue over and over again on this show because it is a pressing need. It's not the naked butler. No. Yes, on the weeks you're not here. No, this question about whether or not teachers should be allowed to be sex workers in their off time. I think it, you know, raises these difficult moral issues, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Look, I think this is another case where this might be a case for local control, right? It's you leave it up to the schools to say, hey, you know, what is it that we think we're comfortable with, and what are we not comfortable with? I don't know. I don't know what this council was in England. Is this some kind of national unit that decides who can teach and who cannot? But it sounds a little creepy to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's weird, right? So if you're you know, what is the list of professions that's appropriate? I mean, lots of teachers bartend summer or weekends, and we think that's appropriate.
Mm, good point.
So what if you're bartending at, say, a Hooters or at a Coyote Ugly? Is that over the line? Because, I mean, where exactly do we draw these lines?
Mm, very interesting question.
I think the teacher makes a good point himself when he, you know, relates, am I being suspended because this isn't role model worthy behavior, and what other role model worthy behaviors are accepted because they're just generally more performed by a greater majority of teachers that we just look the other way at.
The other question is, this is, of course, in Europe, where they have these declining birth rates, which is a real problem. So maybe he is a role model, and that, you know, they want people to have sex and have kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying. All right. Well, I'm sure this issue will come back again, because thankfully it seems like every week brings news of another teacher out there stripping or being a prostitute or doing other things that people generally have a problem with. And we will be here to report on it.
And it's hardly ever characterized with or preceded by thankfully. So that kind of mixes it up a little bit.
Okay. That is all the time we've got for this week. Till next week.
I'm Rick Hess.
And I'm Mike Petrilli at the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. Signing off.
The Education Gadfly Show is a production of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, located in Washington, D.C. For more information, visit us online at edexcellence.net.